morning. We'll call November 19th, 2013 Sussex County Council meeting to order. As you can see, Councilman Wilson's not here this morning. He had a procedure done yesterday in the hospital.
You okay?
I'd like to ask everybody to keep his family in your thoughts and prayers, and hopefully you'll get back here soon. Approve the agenda, Mr. Lawson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Good morning. Good morning, Council. At this time, no recommended amendments to the agenda.
Entertain a motion to approve the agenda.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Phillips, second.
Second.
Mr. Cole, to approve the agenda. Any questions on the motion? We'll take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
I vote yes, motion carried. We had minutes of November 12th. Any concerns, corrections, additions? Hearing none, they'll stand approved. Correspondence, Mr. Moore.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. We have a letter from Delaware Hospice. Dear Sussex County Council, on behalf of our patients and their families, I would like to thank you for your contribution of $1,000 to Delaware Hospice. With your help, we have comforted more than 42,000 patients in their homes, in their hospital rooms, in nursing homes, and in our Delaware Hospice Center in Milford. With your help, we have offered our patients and their families a helping hand, a willing partner, and sympathetic ear by providing volunteers, social workers, chaplains, and bereavement counselors to walk with them on this difficult journey. We thank you again for your kind gift and your help in caring for our community.
Any correspondence from council?
Not a correspondence, but I do want a public service announcement. I had an eye appointment this morning, and my eyes are dilated. If I have them closed, I'm not asleep. If you hear me snoring, I am asleep.
There you go. You get too loud, we'll wake you up.
Okay.
Mr. Lawson.
Okay, thank you, Mr. President. First item of business is the employee of the quarter, Anthony DiGiuseppe. And I don't see Anthony.
He's at work.
Anthony's working. That's why he's the employee of the quarter. Why don't I skip to the administrator's report and we'll see if Anthony comes down.
I think we forgot to tell him.
Okay. The county administrator's report for November 19th, 2013. Item number one, as previously announced, Sussex County will join the Federal Emergency Management Agency in hosting a public meeting in early December for property owners and residents to review proposed changes to federally mandated floodplain maps that could have implications on future construction and homeowner insurance rates. Due to the fact that this meeting will take place before our next council meeting, we wanted to make this announcement one more time. At this meeting, representatives of the county government, the Department of Natural Resources and Environmental Control, and FEMA, and their mapping partners will be on hand to explain the proposed flood insurance rate maps firm for Sussex County. The maps, which identify flood-prone areas within the county and have been updated for the first time since 2005 using modern mapping technologies and improved information, are used by insurance companies to determine flood insurance rates for buildings and contents. Sussex County is required to adopt updated maps to continue participating in the National Flood Insurance Program and make flood insurance available to the community. The open house will meet at 4 to 6 on Monday, December 2nd at the Cheer Community Center, 20520 Sand Hill Road in Georgetown. Information is available now on the county's website at sussexcountyde.gov/FIRM. Interactive mapping is also available at FEMA's website, www.r3coastal.com. That's the number 3, r3coastal.com. Finally, for more information, you can contact our environmental and floodplain manager, Jeff Shockley, at 855-7884 or his email, jcshockley@sussexcountyde.gov. Okay. Number two, project receiving substantial completion per the attached engineering department fact sheet, Millville by the Sea subphase 2B2 North received substantial completion effective November 14th, 2013. And last, it is with sadness that we inform you former county employee William Reed passed away on November 12th, 2013. Mr. Reed worked for the county from March 2, 2006 to November 13, 2012. He worked in the security department as a part-time security guard. We'd like to express our condolences to the Reed family. Thank you, Mr. President.
I have a question.
Mrs.
About the first item, we will be required to adopt our maps to match the FEMA's map. Is that correct?
We will be required to
change our
amend maps. Our uh-huh. ordinances to meet or reflect the new FEMA
rules. That's what I was
rules.
Getting at.
Yes.
We will have to amend our ordinances. Are they going to be following up on that, or how what kind of leeway is there there?
Currently, Mr. Lank, the director of P&Z, has contacted both the state and FEMA to have them review our current flood
mm-hmm.
regulations
okay.
and ask them for their suggestions. Historically, I believe the county has approved the minimum standards for the flood ordinances in the past, and that's what we've asked FEMA to give us for this next round. Conjunction with Denerec and FEMA, we will draft proposed ordinances to bring forth to you all for review and hope to have those passed. We have to have them passed by August 2014.
So we'll be going for minimum standards in this county?
Historically, that's what we have
well,
done.
That's what I want to know, what we're going to do. Are we going to stick with that? I have a problem with that, but that's not your issue right now.
Well,
okay.
The first step is to have the feedback back from FEMA and Denerec to tell them what our ordinances are right now and what they would suggest or recommend. Put those to you and see what you would recommend us doing.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I understand. Thank you.
Thank you. Mrs. Jennings.
Okay. Good morning, Mr. President, members of council. I am going to present the financial report for the first quarter ending September 30th. In your packet was a spreadsheet. As you can see, for our revenues, we are seeing an increase in what we budget. I do expect to usually see this number over our budget because we do budget conservatively. We do that so that we can continue to operate within our means just in case revenues do fall below projections. As you can see, the building and construction revenue is up 45% over budget compared to what we expect year to date. Which is great. Another note is if you look at the Clerk of the Peace revenue, they're already 200% over budget. I expect them to exceed their budget, their annual budget, by the end of this month. So overall, our revenues are 8% over budget. $1 million would be the total. If you flip to the second page, this is our expenses. Most of this is due to time, and you can see everybody, there's majority of the departments are under budget. But again, this is timing. It depends on when their repair and maintenance contracts or insurance contracts come in. So with 3 years in the year, it's hard to justify those, but they're under budget. So as you can see, we are running a $2 million surplus for the year. So the next thing, what I did was a chart for our building-related revenues. This is the second spreadsheet here. What you can see here is what I did was I compared the actual for the last 5 years for the first quarter from 2010 to 2014. As you can see, we are seeing an increase since 2012. So the last 2 years, we've seen a substantial increase in building-related revenues. This, I did a comparison over 2013 and 2014. With just looking at the first quarter, we're seeing a 22% increase over last year's first quarter. If you pull the dwelling permits in 2012, this time as of through November 4th, we've had 535 dwelling permits. And already this year, through November 4th, we've pulled 710 permits. That's a 33% increase over this time last year. So all in all, our building revenues are seeing an increase. The activity has picked up in Sussex County.
Thank you.
I'm glad it's picked up. I hope we can come up with some more money to help folks who desperately need repairs to their homes.
Mr. Lank, discussion on gun shops as a special use exception. Morning.
Good morning. I'm sure this is on the agenda based on some input from citizens in the Rehoboth area due to the location of a gun shop I approved in a commercial district outside of West Rehoboth. Mm-hmm. And the only, just for a little bit of history, guns are considered sporting goods. And permitted uses, for example, in B1 neighborhood business, C1 general commercial, CR1 commercial residential, the Marine District, M, and the LI2 district all permit uses that are listed under B1 and C1. So thereby, the sporting goods, guns, archery, whatever, are permitted use at a retail sales. We also have a provision in the code that allows for home occupation for a salesman. And what you get in a lot of cases, there are a lot of individuals that do catalog sales. They don't retain any displays. They don't have any shop, per se. They have a book, a catalog. They do it online. They do it in their home. And they offer catalog sales of guns. Most any type of item, they could do that as a salesperson. Mm-hmm. So that falls under the definition of a conditional use as residential, business, commercial, or industrial use when the purpose of this chapter is more fully met as a conditional use. Thereby, the commission and the council require public hearing. So there is a public hearing on a conditional use listing. Conditional use listing is, some of you don't like to hear it, but I call it a catch-all, because it picks up anything that's not listed, pretty much. Conditional uses would be allowed under AR, GR, B1, C1, CR1, and Marine to allow for a gun shop, and we've had several. Over the last 10 years, probably, we may have had a half a dozen that were just for the purpose of gun shop, because they started out as a home occupation and found that they needed a shop to be able to make the sale, and they've come through the process of the conditional use. So we have had those. Special use exception doesn't really list retail sales as an option, but we do reference something similar. We have archery ranges, rifle or pistol ranges, trap and skeet shooting, all as listed special use exceptions. Not in every district, but the majority of the districts. For example, archery, which is a weapon of sorts, is AR, MR, GR, HR, B1, et cetera, right into the industrial and commercial districts. Rifled and pistol ranges and trap and skeet shooting would be permitted as a special use exception, or AR, GR, C1, CR1, LI2, and HI, heavy industrial. They would be a public hearing process required for those. So there is a similarity. And I would say that some of those rifle and pistol ranges most likely offer guns for sale. Most likely. I don't.
Most likely. We're not sure. Right?
I'm not for sure, but I would think they would. Because they're offering the ammo, so they're probably offering the
weapon. There's no prohibition to do sales.
No, I don't think so, because the rifle and pistol range is typically they're offering.
Right.
In most cases, they're either offering as a sport in competition, or they're offering instruction. And the way the licensing for firearms is today, and especially for pistols, you have to get certified through a certified instructor. And you go through, you have to shoot so many rounds, and they're going to most likely try to sell you a gun. I know a couple of them do sell guns that are their pistol range. So that's basically the history of the way the ordinance is written today. The suggestion in the agenda is discussion on gun shops as a special use exception. So, I mean, I just wanted you to know that the only similarity is the rifle and pistol range, where it may be some gun sales.
I think the main concern, Lawrence, would be the location of, like conditional uses and everything else. We address location, and if it's an appropriate location. Now, I don't think we're addressing gun shops per se, but the location of that, like the location of an archery range or a gun range, or the location of other special exceptions. So some areas may not be appropriate.
Well, one of the difficulties by it being a sporting goods is that you can go to Walmart and buy a gun. You can go to a lot of retail stores.
All right,
and
could we look at the gun shop as a standalone, when it's a standalone gun shop, as opposed to, like you say, a sporting goods store will also have basketballs and footballs.
Oh, that's exactly right.
You know, that kind of stuff. So
used to be sporting goods did sell pretty much anything that was available for sports.
Right.
Basketball, baseball, gloves,
right,
rifles, pistols, whatever. In the home occupation reference, just to back up to that for a second, that they're required, my letter is required on home occupations for the purpose of notification to the alcohol, tobacco, and firearms, ATF,
mm-hmm,
licensing. Mm-hmm. So it goes through the feds also, federal government. So it does, we do have to do that. And I have to copy them on every letter,
mm-hmm,
whether it's home occupation, whether it's commercial, whether it's B1, C1, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I have a little folder that I keep handy because they come up quite often, actually. And in the last 2 years, I think I've had 8 gun shops in commercial C1 or B1 districts that I've written a letter, permitted use as a sporting goods, notified the applicant so he can apply to it for his ATF license.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had a handful or more, quite a few actually, home occupations, but they're only catalog sales.
Okay.
The catalog sales can't have a sales room, a display, not supposed to have anyway.
They're not supposed really to have the product. They're
basically
shouldn't be
ordering
on site.
They order it through the catalog.
Mm-hmm.
The person buying it has to be certified so they can acquire the gun. In a lot of cases, the gun is basically FedEx or mail or UPS to a licensed dealer that's a store.
Right.
Like if the Guns and Goodies is still around, they would send it to Guns and Goodies and they'd do the paperwork.
But some would be on hand.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And they would have to show the proof of their license to be able to acquire the
right
gun.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let me do, and before we go too much further, with the council here, is there concern that we, or would there be support to try to bring out the gun shop, a standalone gun shop, and make it either a special exception or has to go through a conditional use? Because it could be, and I would agree probably with this, that sometimes locations are important. I would even think in a strip shopping center where you had certain shops may not want a standalone gun shop, in their midst or something like that. So I can even understand other commercial entities not, appreciating maybe the location of one being next to them or something. It might affect their sales or something like that. So, I mean, there's a number of ways I guess we could do it. We could make it a special use exception, or maybe could we put it in the list of conditional uses?
It would be
that way. We're not doing anything. We just
it could probably be done either way. The difficulty I would see, being devil's advocate today,
that's all right,
is that somebody's going to apply for a sporting goods store,
and they'll have a basketball.
They're going to sell the other items so that they're a sporting goods store, and the guns are an item.
Right.
You're not going to find too many that are just gun shops, period. Mm-hmm. They're just selling guns.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, that's what we do have in that one instance that brought all this up.
It was, exactly. Now, the one instance that brought it up is in a C1 general commercial district.
Mm-hmm.
It is on Hebron Road, directly across from West Rehoboth, which is a residential development.
Mm-hmm.
But it's been commercial since 1971.
Right. And when we zone commercial, I don't know that that people always know what's included under all of that.
Oh, I agree. No,
so it's a grab bag of uses.
So it's been
we don't control it
for 42 years.
Right. Well,
that part.
You're an avid gun nut. Excuse me, I didn't mean that nut. User of weapons in a legal fashion. Anyway, what I'm wondering is, with this conference, is there anything you could shed on this? That there seems to be some concerns with some citizens, and not just in this one location, but I think it's probably everywhere.
Well, and
we do restrict package stores, to be so close to different things and where they're located, and they're regulated. We don't, but I'm just saying they are regulated in a sense. I mean, certain things are regulated. Is there a way to maybe isolate gun shops so that they wouldn't get the loophole of a sporting goods store, by throwing in a basketball or a football? Is there a way to approach this that you or do you need some thought?
I would want to look at, there are several issues, and I'm sure this is something mm-hmm. that's not a brand new issue, that's not been looked at with other jurisdictions, and could look at that with Lawrence. Obviously, there's always the Second Amendment issues.
But we're not trying to stop them.
Right.
I think we're just...
But just regulate...
Or have the ability to have a public hearing that somebody could say, this is an inappropriate location for a gun shop because... And then mm-hmm. if they were valid reasons, reasonable people mm-hmm. might turn it down, mm-hmm. As opposed to that right now they're approved anywhere in a commercial district,
mm-hmm. right.
basically.
So if you own a gun shop right now and you're planning to move it to an AR1 district... You can open up a gun shop almost under any of our zoning categories, could you not? But you'd have to have the hearing.
As a permitted use, mm-hmm. it would be
permitted
business,
under you have
business
to
district.
Rezone to CR1.
B1, CR1.
B1 would qualify.
M or LI2, actually.
But you couldn't have a home occupation in that AR1 land?
Your home occupation would not allow you to have a display
right.
shop just... purpose of catalog sales.
Just
you would
catalog
have, you
sales.
You would have an office with a desk
mm-hmm,
and a
but not
telephone and a file cabinet,
mm-hmm.
just like selling wholesale cars, but mm-hmm. you can't have the product on the site.
Right. We don't inspect them, so we're not sure if some of them may do have some on site. Who knows?
But some are, yeah, and some are yeah. pre-existing. Yeah, I know right. a few that are there before zoning even started.
Right. right. I'm just trying to track and see how possible it is. I don't want to restrict either. I'm talking
well,
about...
Well, is there... Okay, yeah. let's just... We won't solve it today. Is there a consensus to ask... Lawrence and Everett, maybe to think this out a little bit and come back, Lawrence, come back with us in a couple weeks and see if you have a way to address them. Is there anybody
yeah,
have any?
Yeah,
I have concerns.
Concerns
yeah.
what?
Well, I have concerns about what kind of buffers we're requiring.
Well, no, we're asking them to bring that back to us
if,
now.
If we could just pay attention, Mr. Phillips has the floor.
Okay. Oh, I'm sure.
Well, I want us to be very careful because there is a strong sentiment in this county, at least from my side, that guns are a right that government should avoid regulating, and I'm afraid that we could get caught in a mess if we're not careful. I understand you have good intentions, but we're just going to have to be very careful. I don't have any problem with Mr. Moore looking into it.
That's the question at this point. I don't know. We don't have anything in front of us.
I would ask that maybe concerns. Anything that is brought to council be placed on for discussion only and not an opportunity to introduce.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. That's fine, yeah. What I was going to say is I want... Oh, you finished?
Yes, ma'am.
My concerns were where can these things be? What kind of... buffers are we requiring from the neighbors, and especially on the target ranges? I'm familiar with those. And
well, they do go to the public hearing with
right.
the Board of Adjustment.
But we have requirements that, you know, do protect the neighborhood.
The only thing I've had on target ranges that has not been covered for years, to my knowledge, has been the turkey shoots at fraternal organizations mm-hmm. like the Elks or the Moose or the VFW.
Mm-hmm.
They do them on occasion, and, mm-hmm. and they haven't. There's never been an issue.
Well, I think we're talking about a business that, you know.
I know, but
yeah.
that's just, it's still, is that a, so Everett and I can discuss that too.
Right,
because
okay.
Is that a range? It's a temporary use for a fundraiser type thing. And they
mm-hmm.
should have probably have to meet certain criteria also.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But they've
yeah.
done that for long as I can remember.
That's right.
Well, skeet shooting is not, it's not.
No, they're typically sites that would be a fairly good sized acreage because it's a, it's,
but
it's
not
a little different than target shooting.
Okay.
Target shooting can be done on a fairly small parcel if you've got the right kind of buffers and
that's what I meant.
Protective.
That's what I want to make sure we have.
Behind it, et cetera.
And we're not looking at doing anything that would restrict a farmer to walk out in his backyard and shoot a shotgun if he wanted to shoot at something. I mean, this is just a business. Okay. We're looking at commercial operations,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
This is not hairy homeowner
well,
going out
about,
and shooting
yeah.
on New Year's Day.
And it shouldn't affect home protection and having guns at home to protect yourself. So,
any more comments from council?
No, that'd be fine. Well,
thank you. Pretty much got
thank
what they're
asking.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Lang. It is now 10:31.